You are now listening to the Motivational Mentors Podcast with your hosts, Luke Burrows.
Touch on morning routines. I think people have to find something that works for them.
And Arsenio Buck.
Hey, Arsenio, let's go party. Hey, party. If someone asked me to party right now, Luke, come on. What the hell's a party? What? A party for what? Guys, oh, welcome back to Motivational Mentors. I'm your host, Arsenio, sounding like a radio host as always, and I got my sidekick, Luke Burrows. Sorry, I butchered it. Luke Burrows over there on the other end, of course, and oh, today we got a wonderful redhead from Cardiff. Oh my God, Siwan is on with us today. I hope I didn't butcher that. My chair literally just broke right now. I'm just too excited. But nonetheless, Siwan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. I got my cup of tea and I'm ready to go for it and chat about whatever.
Awesome. Well, I'm so happy to bring you on the show because like I've been seeing on Facebook and a bit on Instagram as well, all the amazing things that you're up to. So for those who don't know who you are, could you, give a little bit into what you're working on right now, what you do and a little bit into your story as well. And then myself and Arsenio will fire some questions at you.
Cool, lovely, sounds good. So, it all started. So I was diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 14. And living with epilepsy epilepsy isn't a fun journey, but you learn a lot. But anyway, fast forward to students. When I was a student at Exeter, we stand to experience more seizures. So seizures is basically when you fall unconsciously to the floor and you have like muscle spasms. It's quite dangerous because you can like hit your head or maybe lots of different dangerous, scary, weird stuff. Stress increased in university and I started to have more seizures. So I went to the doctors and I asked them, what should I do? I'm having more seizures. And they told me, maybe you should increase your medication. And that didn't sit well with me. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't sit well with me. Yeah, because I mean, it was giving me side effects like fatigue, slower cognition, sort of memory, poorer memory. And I was just like, there must be another way to decrease seizures in the whole entire world. So I remember when I was home for the weekend, I picked up a newspaper. I never do that, but apparently I did. Picked up a newspaper and I saw meditation can help with epilepsy. And I was like, ooh, I've never tried meditation before, but I'm going to go for it because apparently it's good for epilepsy. So I did and I meditated 20 minutes every night. And after about 4 months, my seizures decreased. I was waking up with like a massive smile on my face, ready to start the day. My grades at university improved. I was a more confident individual, better in social situations, just happier, more content, more grateful, more everything. It changed my life.
What I find so interesting is that when someone said increase your medication, just as other people say, Lisa Nichols had this story whereas she was depressed and this doctor put her name on this label and it said Prozac. And you said no. You know what I mean? You said it didn't sit well with you. This is the most important message for everyone out there because I do believe that the cure is within us. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that might need the medicine just to get themselves out of it. But it just seems like the medication is there for you to continue using the medication forever. You're not supposed to get off of it. It's kind of like a coach, both Luke and I, right? Luke, you don't want to coach someone for the next 10 years because that specific someone, that means they didn't learn anything from you for the last 9.5 years in 364 days. You want them to be able to handle themselves on their own. And so medication doesn't do that. What made that intuitive nudge? You just say, you know what, man, fuck you. And you went the other way.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just dropped it. Yeah, I had to drop it, baby.
So it was so right. That's Well, this is just, it's the truth. Like what you said, like, of course, like you said, medication, it can be, you know, useful for some people to just get them out of a space or whatever, but it can also like keep you in that knot, keep you in that space where you don't want to be. Like you said, you want to move from that and do life by yourself with just you, because everything you need, you have. You don't need anything outside.
Yeah. How did, is it Calm Clouds?
Calm Clouds.
So how did that come about? I'm really interested, because I've seen when you do, was it stores? I've seen some of the pictures on, was it Instagram? And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I've seen kind of all your like stationery and that. And it looks, looks amazing. So I'm curious into how you got into business and that journey as well.
Yeah. So, well, after meditation just completely changed my life, I was like, wow, more people need to be meditating. Like, wouldn't it be an amazing world if every single person meditated before they went to bed every night? Like, so I was like, okay, after university, I trained as a meditation teacher, and then I just went around schools. I still visit schools now and again to teach children and teachers meditation, because, you know, children are the future, so why not give it to them, give them the tools that they can use throughout their entire life and then pass on to their children. So, I wanted to go to schools, teach the kids. And then I thought, well, why not just approach schools in Cardiff in Wales? Why not try and approach more schools outside of Wales and including Wales as well? So that's when I created Calm Cloud, the website with meditations for school children on there. So calmcloud.co.uk. It launched in March this year, and it has meditations in Welsh language and in English language for teachers just to log on the website, pick a meditation, maybe on bullying, exam stress. Click play, and teachers just sit back, chill, and listen to the audio guided meditation that their kids listen to, and they learn the audios guide them through how to breathe and how to relax and how to calm. So yeah, that's what Calm Cloud is all about.
Oh, that's an amazing niche market that you found, and it's something that is so vital. We're going to be having this a mindfulness teacher, as a matter of fact. I've done a number of podcasts with her. Her and I, we're going to be partnering on something massively massive, and we're going to be building a titan in terms of the education realm, and she talks about mindfulness. Now, of course, we're going to be bringing her on in December, but I would like to hear your opinion. What's meditation and mindfulness? You know, what's the verses on that? Are they the same?
They're really, really similar. So meditation is just a word for a bunch of different techniques that you can use to help calm you, help de-stress you, help decrease anxiety, and help increase relaxation. So that's meditation. And under the meditation umbrella are different techniques such as breathing. Mindfulness is one other strand of meditation. So mindfulness is basically when you can use your senses, so listening, seeing, touching, using your senses to be mindful of where you are now. So that can be, you can do a mindfulness meditation when you're walking down the street. Maybe you're looking around, looking at the beautiful blue sky, or maybe you're sitting down and really doing a focused meditation on just listening and seeing what sounds you can hear. So yeah, that's it.
Why do you think like people don't meditate then? And you know, it could be a whole list of reasons, but do you think it's like awareness, like they're not aware of meditation and the benefits and how it can help them? Or yeah, just kind of interested on your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, there are loads of reasons why people don't meditate, like being afraid to try something new.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure you can think of them yourself, yeah, where people, you know, they don't have time.
So do you think like then people give roadblocks to themselves for not trying something new, not for not trying like mindfulness or meditation? Do you think like it's kind of excuses sometimes?
Do you think it's what sometimes?
Excuses. Do you think like people give excuses for not trying it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've all got excuses. I have excuses for not working out, for not exercising sometimes. So yeah, it's easy to have excuses to come up, but it's really tempting when you know the benefits of meditation. It's like you just want to scream it on top of the rooftops, and especially to your family and friends, those close to you, like feel like grabbing them by the shoulders, be like, girl, come on, meditate, it's seriously amazing. So you feel like if I do that, then they'd be like, oh my god, what the, you know, like, nah. So I don't want to scare them away. So what I do is subtly be like, by the way, meditation is great. You should try it out. So they're intrigued and they do it for themselves, not because someone else has told them to do it.
And a lot of people believe that meditation, and this is probably why they don't do it, as well as learn about personal development, because they think that's weird stuff for weird people. Like, I don't understand. Personal development is you developing as a human being on this planet that needs development. And so, again, that's a broader spectrum. But if we, you know, go back into meditation, people think it's all about monks wearing orange robes, like Lucas said, you know, and with their legs crossed and humming away. You know what I mean? But the thing is, guided meditation practices, I started listening to one from Bob Proctor. This is 4 years ago until I found Glenn Harrell, which is a guided meditation. And I've been listening to him for the last 3 years. But, you know, it helps me, like, get away from literally everything that's, like, happening around me. And I'm able to go into some very, very deep spots, you know. So do you think people don't do it because the general population doesn't do it because of what others' opinions may be about it?
Do you think people don't do it because...
Because of what other people have said it is. It's for weird people because of the label.
Yeah, you're right. You've hit the nail on his head. Like, that's what, one of the reasons why people don't meditate, because they might be afraid of what people might think about them. Doing meditation, it's for weird people. But at the end of the day, meditation is basically finding the quiet space within you. And if you're a human being, then you most likely, you could do it. Like, so it is for everyone. You don't need to be a monk or whatever to do it. You can, I mean, when I go to schools and I teach meditation to like five-year-olds, within 10 seconds of the meditation, they're in it. They are in the zone. They are meditating like a professional. Like, they're amazing. Anyone can meditate. And so it's up to them as a human being. Are you going to do it's okay if people don't meditate, but if they're intrigued, why not go for it? You know, it's only going to serve you, and it's only going to help you. So yeah.
And so then, beginning steps, right? For one of our listeners that are like, okay, you know, I want to give this thing a go, right? What would be some of like the beginning steps that you would give?
Okay, so, well, I'd say get hold of an app, a meditation app, because I mean, there are ones that are free on the App Store. A really good one is called Insight Timer, INSIGHT Timer. It's free. It's got thousands of guided meditations on there. So basically, I tell them to download an app and make 20 minutes for yourself, either in the morning or in the evening. A good time is straight after brushing your teeth. So it's a part of the routine of going to bed. So brush your teeth, meditate for 20 minutes with your app, earphones, and then pop to bed. So yeah, that's what I'd say. And patience, app, and time.
and what is it that these beginners should be trying to discover? Because a lot of people, I don't know what they're aiming for. I don't know if it's, of course, listening to the guided practice, going along the journey, which, you know, like, I love going into the forest and going into like these other areas that Glenn Harrell takes me and whatnot. But I don't know what these beginners, they're probably like, well, I've done it this amount of times, that amount of times. And if they fall asleep going into it and they wake up doing it, oh my God, it's an unbelievable transformation. But what is it that they're looking for?
I mean, I'd say I was quite lucky when I started meditating because I didn't know much about it. So not knowing much about it gave me a clean white canvas when I stepped into my meditation. I was like, don't know what to expect, but I'm just going to close my eyes and go along with it. So whatever I discovered during the meditation, whether that was inner peace, like silence, exciting feeling, energy moving through a body, anything was a gain, you know? Because maybe if we have projections before we go into a meditation, like, oh, I have to feel like this, or, oh, this is where I'm aiming towards, then that can actually put walls around you and actually limit your journey. So just take all those walls down, take any expectation, projection, blah, blah, blah. All it is, sitting down, closing your eyes, and listening to your breath. Keep it that simple, because every journey in meditation is different. Every meditation is different as well. So just go in and just be also kindness. Be kind to yourself. It's so easy during meditation to be like, you know, after 10 minutes, be like, I am still thinking of things. Things are still going around my head. Why am I like this? My friend Kate can meditate within 3 seconds. Why am I still thinking? You know? So just like, we're in this, on this earth to just find out how to do stuff and just experiment and just go in for it. Go for a meditation, see what happens. No judgment, have fun.
And you know what? Going into children, how do you teach children? And I think I find this very, very exciting because, again, Katrina, who we will be bringing on very, very soon at the end of the year, she got all these students from different cultures at an international school in the heart of Athens, Greece, to sit down after recess and to, of course, you know, just be like in mindfulness in general. I think it's just remarkable to get children to just calm down in general. The teachers were interested. And then the school principal of the international school was interested. And then she started putting together these massive assemblies of children sitting down. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that you're doing it. What are some of the things or maybe some of the challenges that you have with getting children to sit still?
There are more challenges with adults than kids, for sure. Oh, what? Yeah, for sure. Like, kids, they have no judgments. They try things out. Something's put in front of them and they're like, okay, let's do this. Let's go in. Let's try it out. And then they go in without that judgment. And because of that, they go right into the meditation. There are no blockages of any judgments or whatever. They just be in it and they really gain from the meditation. And they're great. They just get it straight away. But with us adults, you know, we've had a longer life, so we've had maybe false beliefs we've picked up during our lives, or like doubts, self-doubts. Can I do this? Is this only for this kind of people? My dad will think this is weird. You know, all these different thoughts that come up. Oh, my thought, I'm still thinking. I shouldn't be thinking. I should be like this. We've got all this shizzle that we need to drop as we meditate. We're more likely as adults to have to drop consciously, notice things and let go of them during our meditation. So when we meditate, it's like going into it. And when thoughts come up, we notice those thoughts and we let them go. And we notice some blockages and let them go. Whereas kids, they're like, woo, more likely go straight in.
And I wonder if part of that has to do with them having just a subconscious mind, or I don't know if it's a conscious or a subconscious mind. Hopefully it's the subconscious, because that's what I said at the presentation just yesterday. But nonetheless, the subconscious mind is literally wide open. This is why they can learn so many different things in such a short amount of time, and their imagination is very high. So I don't know. And like, what is it? Is it the theta stage? Beta? I don't know. I don't know all the different stages, the alpha, the gamma. I don't know about all those crazy stages. But I know children, they operate in a specific stage where the imagination or the imaginative side is always there. So you see these children at the ages of 5, 6, 7, learning about 5 to 6, 7 languages. So I love it because when they come, when they start meditating, I bet, if they're listening to something, they have no worries. They're not worrying about money. They're not worrying about what other people are thinking of them. You know what I mean? They're just free thinkers at that age. So, yeah, I think it's just very, very fascinating. And I love how you were able to go around the school. So I love the niche market again. You were able to take this and say, you know what? I want to do this all over the place. I bet you that was a scary decision you had to make. How did you start doing that?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you can also think it's scary if you don't do what you want to do in life. You know, I was thinking, I was like, okay, I've got a few roads I could go down. One includes getting a job that I don't really like, but will get me money in every month and I can have a stable-ish life. Mm-hmm. But then the other one was doing my passion, starting Calm Cloud, spreading meditation, spreading this awesome thing around the world. But, you know, who knows about the financial side of it? But I was like, which one? Am I going to, you know, 100 years old, maybe at my deathbed, would I like to look back on my life and think, I just did that 9-to-5 job. That was pretty poo. Or maybe I look back at it and be like, damn, I did what I wanted to do and I'm so happy for it. Even though it was a crazy journey, I'm glad I went on that journey because it was a journey that I was meant to go on. So it's more scary not to go on the journey that I'm meant to go on because it's going against what I'm meant to be here to do. So it was easy. Was what I meant to do, so let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just thinking in terms of like that perspective, like, and it might be a weird question, but like, do you know where like that outlook on life comes from, or has it been just in your personal growth journey, continuing to grow and run, read books or listen to influential people that's helped you to develop like that perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, meditation definitely helped me because before meditating when I was in uni, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Did I want to then do a master's in psychology after, or did I want to go to a drama school afterwards? I wasn't really sure. Once I started meditating, I started to know who I was inside, and deeper things like, why am I here on earth? What makes me really happy? What fills my cup? What do I love? What could I do for years to come? So meditating really helped me to understand these things. So when I understood them, that really helped me to find out what I wanted to do in life because I could see more of me and what I wanted.
Awesome. And what's been some of the, like the top, I don't know if there's been resources or books or just like other, or maybe, you know, people in your space, you know, that have helped you or, you know, have been resources that you would recommend to other people?
Well, I started off, I was kind of the only one that did what I was doing. So like meditating and things. So I kind of just, I was like, screw bits of my life. I was like, I'm not going to put in any energy into this and that anymore. So it was just me for a while. So when it was just me that was in this world of meditation and discovering out new things, I found people on the internet that were similar to me. I was like, oh my God, they're amazing. And found them on Instagram, messaging them and just building that sort of what I knew was true within my mind, within my body, my truth, I could also find other people on Instagram who also believed and felt that the same thing. So that then strengthened my belief. because I had other people, you know, believing the same thing. But then whilst I was living it more, when I was living in my truth more, I started to attract people in real life who were actually believing in the same things as me. So now I'm so grateful to have these amazing friends that educate me, and they blow me away every time I chat to them. So chilling out with people who inspire you and make you want to become your best is just really important. And I highly underline, if people don't make you feel good and you just feel depleted after seeing them, ask yourself, is it worth spending that time with these kinds of people? Because maybe they're not for you. Maybe you're not right together. Maybe you've got another tribe somewhere else.
Definitely. And did you face that, like, for uni or just in your whole journey in general?
Yeah. I did in uni. I did go as a little recluse at the end of my final year. After discovering meditation and things, I just dropped random sort of groups of energy in my life that weren't serving me, whether that be hobbies, or energies come in different forms, don't they? Mm. But whatever wasn't serving me, I was like, no. A bit ruthless, but I was ready for change. And so I just went for it.
I mean, when it comes to, I was just having that conversation, like energy zappers and people in general. Before meditation, I really wasn't consciously aware of the people I was around. But when I started doing meditation, going into personal development, I was very, very quick to remove people from my life. And I'm even quicker today. So, like, you know, like if someone's condescending, and sometimes, okay, let's just say they didn't even realize they were being condescending. But the moment I feel that they're speaking down upon me, they're blocked. I mean, it's not even, I swear, like, it's not even close. Like, I'm telling you, I block people in heartbeats. You know, there was this one girl. Oh my God, what did she say? Oh my God, she said something crazy as hell. Oh, I was talking to another girl and I told her about something. She's like, she didn't ask you that. I said, I looked at her like this. You know, I gave her that black people look. I was like, you know, I was about to say the B word. So when I got off the train, I got out of the car with her. I went to her number. I said, block. I ain't never going to see you again for as long as I live. Because life is too short to be around people who are just toxic. That's all there is to it. So for everyone out there, even if you're not meditating right now, remove the trash out of your life. And I know a lot of people, they don't want to be rubbish. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to be trash today. But sometimes they have trash tendencies, right? So, hey, I block them, you know. So good on you, Siwan, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's totally true. You deserve, know that you deserve more than that. You deserve more than for someone to treat you like that. So if someone treats you below what you're worth, hey, are they worth your time? Ask ourselves that. Are they worth our time? Yeah.
What other challenges have you faced on your journey, and how have you been able to overcome them?
You know, a challenge that does come up is the seizures. So I still experience.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is having a grand mal seizure when you fall to the floor unconsciously and then wake up is, oh my God, is one of the challenges in life that's made me who I am today. Because getting after waking up when you're on the floor, it's such a lonely place to be. Even though you might have people around you taking care of you, it's like you're the only one in that space in your mind, and you're the only one that can get yourself out of there. So I could either choose to just stay in bed for like weeks and just not try, or I could get my bottom up and, you know, just to get myself out of that space and get on my feet again and go for life again. But it requires willpower, and that's what I've learned and gained from those experiences, is a stronger willpower, which has helped me in my business. If you know, things don't go according to plan, I'll always get on my feet again and try again, you know, there's no question about it. So yeah, challenges have been seizures, one of the challenges, but oh my gosh, I wouldn't change it for anything, because it's been so great for me. Seizures, I've learned a lot from them. Yeah.
Right. And how often do they happen, if you don't mind me asking?
So they happen about currently like 3 times a year. So yeah, it's cool. But I'm the plan is to decrease them even more. So, and it's to decrease them even more, I'm getting deeper and deeper into my way of thinking and the way I look on the world, onto the world, because I think the seizures come from some kind of belief I have within myself from childhood, possibly. So I'm just looking deeper into that, getting deeper and deeper into my being, which is a journey I love to take. Like, yeah. Scary, but like good.
Wow. So do you think, oh man, so going deeper and deeper, do you think there's going to be something that might come up that might, I don't know, reduce the number from 3 to 2, from 3 to 1 or something like that? Maybe you start understanding. Because I, you know, a lot of people, and again, the doctors in the world of medicine, it's all corrupt and whatnot. No offense to doctors out there that are listening, but yeah. I mean, they still are unaware of the subconscious mind. They're still unaware of course, what dreams are. You know what I mean? There's no true definition. And I think our subconscious mind is a universe in its own. And I do believe that we are the cure to a lot of different things. So do you believe that, like with meditation and you just going deeper and deeper into, you know, practicing a lot of different things, that you could possibly, you know, just rid it in general?
When we solve what's going on within ourselves and we sort out our internal world, then mm-hmm. our vibration changes, and then that changes our external world. Because we vibrate at a different frequency. And then when we vibrate at a different frequency, the world around us responds to that. So we have to start. It all starts from learning about ourselves more. Why are we behaving in a certain way? Why am I choosing this instead of that? Just by building a relationship with ourselves, noticing our flaws, our strengths, our tendencies, then life gets easier in a way. It gets easier to navigate, and yeah, it does help with maybe ailments and things like that. You might notice some links maybe with your belief and with an ailment or whatever, but that's not exactly my field, with illnesses and things like that and looking within. I'm experiencing it, but I'm not an expert on it. That's why I asked some of my friends for some advice in that field. But it's an interesting field, you know, right. How everything's linked.
Yeah, awesome. And so, yeah, I was about to ask, do you have any final questions? And then, yeah, we'll dive into some final thoughts and share a bit more about your Calm Cloud platform, where people can find it and connect with you. But yeah, just if Arsenio has any final questions.
Yeah, there were some meditations that I've actually listened to in terms of audios, and I realized that some are stronger than others. There's one that I'm always drawn to that it feels like I'm in some kind of forest, and then I find this place in the middle of a forest, and of course Glenn Harrelly takes you on this little tour, and you can hear the music, and it sounds like they're like this ancient tribal civilizations out there, whatnot. And I feel that I go very, very deep into that, you know. And another one is chakra meditations. The deepest I've ever gone was while I was getting a spine massage. And I remember I went to a very, very deep part of my soul, and I was in a room where there was like 7 red beds, and I went up to one red bed, and it was like a ruby. It was like a ruby color, right? And I don't know, it was just a glow like coming right in my eye. And I remember I woke up because the lady tapped me on my shoulder, and I was at my most peace ever in my life at that specific moment. I had the biggest smile on my face. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like there are some that really work. There are some that don't. How about you? What's the deepest you've ever been?
I love meditation. Oh my gosh. Well, probably the coolest experience was, I think, the one that like I experienced in university, that after that experience, I was like, wait a sec. What I think the world is, isn't what I think the world is. I'm going to look at the world differently now, and there's a lot that I don't know. So it was basically, I'm meditating, sitting on the floor, and things were just like, I could see things like vibrating around me. So like just the furniture and everything. And it was almost like I was a part of everything that was around me. So just that experience is obviously having these experiences during meditation is really cool. Like, woohoo. But it's about the, you know, getting, doing it every day. And even if we find a little bit of peace, a little bit of tranquility, you know, 2 seconds of it during a long meditation at the end of the day, that's an achievement. That's fantastic. And just doing that every day and get into it. And then we get better and better and deeper at meditating. So it's okay if we haven't experienced anything cool, because even by making that space for ourselves to meditate on, that space to go into a quiet place in ourselves, that's cool in general. Like, that's something to be proud of, because it's so important. And for someone to realize that that's important, that time for yourself is important, well, you're a step ahead of many people, so that's good.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I don't think I've experienced anything as, like, as crazy as Arsenio or something, you know, but like, I'm patient with it, you know, so, you know, I understand that.
It's cool, like, you know, sometimes I leave a meditation and it's just like the peace that I found during that meditation is incredible, you know, is like, shakes me, like it touches me really deeply, the peace that I find. So, you know, even that. And to be honest, it took me loads of practice to even get into a quiet space in meditation. That's why doing it every day, 20 minutes, boom, 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 and over time, that's when it gets easier. And it really tests our self-love and the patience we have with ourselves. That's the thing, I think it tested me most. One of the things that it tested me most on was, how patient am I with myself? How much love do I have with myself? Am I gonna judge myself straight away and be like, Shuan, why aren't you in a peaceful space already? Shuan, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Or am I gonna be like, oh, Shuan, you've got a busy head today. Okay, that's cool. That's an interesting observation. Let's let go of that and let's focus again onto the meditation. And yeah, being patient and kind.
Awesome. And so last question. So is 20 minutes like the optimal time you recommend?
It's just a time that suits me.
Suits you.
So, I mean, if you're starting off meditating, I'd advise 10 minutes or more. Just because I mean, 5 minutes every day, if you've just started, it might be difficult, because I'm just thinking back now, if I started with 5 minutes a day when I didn't do any meditation before, it wouldn't be enough time to actually experience the journey of the beginning of the meditation, going into the meditation, experiencing what it's like being in your mind, and then coming out the other side. I don't think 5 minutes is enough. So if you're starting off, jump in, do 20 minutes, experience what it's like. And then after you've found that space in your mind that appears during the meditation, wherever you are, could be on the bus, you could tap into a meditation for 2 minutes and be like, right, I'm going to just go into that place in my mind for 2 minutes, chill, and then I'm going to come out. So, but at the beginning, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I'd advise 20 minutes every day at the start. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more, connect with you, learn about Calm Clouds? Where can they find you online?
Cool. So if you're a teacher out there or you're a parent and you want your child to be meditating more or getting the benefits of meditation, like decreased anxiety, increased focus during class, if you want that for your kids, then you could try out calmcloud.co.uk and check out what the website offers. So like I said, it offers mindfulness meditation for high schools and primary schools in Welsh and in English. So have a look at that if you're interested.
Guys, we will see you next week on another episode of Motivational Mentors. Share this episode if you know anyone who would find this episode valuable. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, and we will be back next week.
Did you find this episode helpful? If you did, please leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe. New episodes of the Motivational Mentors podcast are available every Friday.